You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Hey, we're just getting in the mood now for a bit of political commentary. Here we go, in the mood.
Welcome back to Ashburton. We're about ready to start now.
It's political commentary.
With our guest, David Slack. Hello, David. How are you?
Never better, brother. How are you?
Very well, very well. Interesting times. We've had a budget. We've got a council budget in Auckland coming up, and we've got a COVID.
Yeah, I mean, that was very funny, but...
It just shows how much everybody wants to just dying for a laugh, eh?
Well, yeah, they are. But just when you're laughing at them, the wanker goes and takes the US out of the Paris Climate Agreement.
You sound surprised.
Well, that's right. Yeah. He's so dismal. He's a preening vandal is what he is, and I just despair of how much damage he could do in another 3 years.
Is he just more sort of upfront about his vandalism? Because, I mean, let's be honest, there's been a couple of pillocks in that position.
He's rudderless. He doesn't have any strong conviction about anything save for making himself look good. And that is maybe a sort of a comfort, you know, that maybe he can be sweet-talked into going into other directions that don't do as much harm as he is with, for example, undoing Obamacare and potentially exposing 25 million to all of the risks that come with having no health care. Imagine having no health care in America. It's just a bloody nightmare. And he's letting that happen to 25 million
where does
people.
Where's the lobbying come for something like that? Who stands to gain by him eliminating that?
Well, it's...
Obviously, the private...
Selfish individuals, I guess, is the answer. You know, the less that they have to pay in tax, the more they've got to spend on their own selfish indulgence. And that is kind of the driving ideology.
Selfish indulgence.
Give me more of that. I'll have a third, thanks. They are the kind of... this whole Republican idea of making government so small you can drown it in a bathtub, that appeals to them because they don't have to pay any tax and they can ignore the concerns of everybody else. And I don't know how you live with yourself, but people clearly are very comfortable about it, some people. And that's where we are with this a Republican House and Senate that are happy to let him do this, all of this, because... Their overarching ambition is to make government as small as they possibly can, and he's a kind of a dim-witted tool that can serve their interest.
What's the benefit of making government of slimming down the government in a country like the United States?
It takes us back to the selfishness. You know, yeah. I can't see. You know, there's a kind of a sort of a. Philosophical objection they have too, I think, that is, don't tell me what to do in any sort of form. They don't like the idea of somebody else, especially if it might, heaven forbid, be a woman deciding that something should be done that's not not to their taste. But, you know, everything we've seen about the track of the USA since the Great Depression is that where the government intervened, things got better for the great majority of people, and they ended up with the highest standard of living in the world. Now, why the hell would you walk away from that? And yet they have. You've now got this proposition where things are splendid for a tiny minority of people, but for the average working person, the income they can expect, comparatively speaking, is poorer than it was a generation ago and a generation before that. And this is why kids today look at their prospects, and unless they've got a track on the inside, or they've, some of the favoured fortunate few, they know that they probably won't have great prospects, and they'll have poorer prospects than the generations that preceded them. Now, how can anybody think that that's an accomplishment? Beats me.
Have you are you aware of the announcement they made last couple of days of just we've lost $1 billion worth of arms?
Missed that. You mean
this is mishandling. This is
I think it was like 2015. I'm just trying to find the story here, but where they've had to admit that they've lost it. But the same way they did before 9/11, when they said we can't find $1 trillion that we've that we just don't know where it is. Everyone, oh, guess what? 9/11 next day. Phew. Oh, that's the text.
Have a look down the back of the couch. It's always down the back of the couch.
It's all relative to us. I mean, it gets boring talking about the states, but it is relative to our country, isn't it? And relative to our government.
Of course, because for starters, our starting point on this was the Paris Accord on climate change. Now, this is real. If let's say the sea level rises by 1 inch, people say, I can cope with walking around in 1 inch of water. Actually, if you go down to any coastal property and look at how much more water there would be lying everywhere if you just rise by a small amount, you quickly realise, actually, that means if the water's permanently there, those houses either have to be all put on stilts or moved away. You know, that's one trivial example of what's actually going to be a colossal disruption to the way the world functions if we keep on heating up the planet, on top of which you've got the potential movement dislocation of millions of people, and you've got the potential irreversible melting of the ice caps. These things are really, really serious, and bizarrely, we've got the means to do everything we need to stop it happening by switching to sustainable energy, renewable energy, so that what you got to stop doing is burning fossil fuel and sticking it into the atmosphere. And for the most part, in Paris, all of the countries of the world came together and agreed, by consensus, we're going to find a way to get there, which is essentially moving to electric cars and that kind of thing. Anything to get out of burning fossil fuels.
Yep.
Why in God's name would America not want to participate in that and support it and do everything it can to take us towards that, except, of course, for the vested interests of people who make money out of fossil fuels? Well, that is the position Trump is taking. He's standing on the side of the people who stand to make money out of fossil fuels instead of saving the goddamn planet. And
it's quite bewildering, isn't it?
Oh, well, it's just bloody outrageous. It's outrageous, and it's selfish. It's back to that selfish proposition. People who want to preserve their own good interest and couldn't give a flying toss about what the what that does to the common good, and stuff them all.
Speaking of the National Party, we're trundling slowly towards an election, and that trundle is going to become a fully fledged race very shortly. Is everybody doing? Are all the key players now in New Zealand doing what they're supposed to be doing? I mean, we've got the Labour Green cuddle up. That was all very nice last week, wasn't it? The nicely balanced list, MP list from the Greens. What about National? We're not getting good press for Bill English at the moment, are we?
No, we're not. What you've got here is people who are a voting public, which is very uneasy about the state of the housing situation. They're looking at this government and thinking, I'm not so sure I like this. But they're not yet sure, in large enough numbers, that they want to move to Labour-Green coalition. And so you've got this endless debate of can they do it without Winston or not? And then you come back around to what will Winston want if he doesn't? And it's pretty bloody frustrating, actually, because you've got a kind of a directionless approach to running the economy by this government that simply piles on a little bit more to what you did last year and the year before that, instead of ever asking, well, would we be doing better if, for example, we tried to diversify the economy properly? Would we be doing better if, for example, we set up the kind of system we had in the 30s, where we took the money and resources of the state and said, we're going to build as many houses or apartments, in today's language, as necessary to make sure everybody's got an affordable home. And we're not going to look for a return on it, because that's going to stuff us. That's what's driving the housing market nuts at the moment, looking for a return that just keeps chasing ever bigger money.
Yep.
We're just going to look for a social return that says everybody's got a house. and we're going to spend the money that's required to do that. How about we think about doing that? You know, and
are you talking about building a successful community?
I'm that kind of revolutionary, Mikey.
And some, but I just for a second, I hadn't actually even contemplated the idea of the old leathery, lizardy, doesn't seem to age, Winston. Being in control. I'm gonna chew on that for the rest of the week, and I'm just trying to get my head around. I can't at the moment. But it could happen. It's quite possible, isn't it?
Marky, I thought two elections ago he was looking too old, and yet right now he's looking as energetic as he has for any time I can recall. He's fizzing, and he wants to be prime minister. His deal, the Willis as well. People who say they know.
I think anybody knows that. I think. I think he's pretty blatant about that. Eh? Hey, David. Yeah. We've got to get going, but thank you very much. Lovely to talk to you, and thanks for some fine and astute commentary. All the best.
You're right, Mike.
See you later. Have a great week. Bye bye.
You just heard a bit of political commentary. That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.